Hello everyone, welcome back. My name is Arna Sahu, host of Arna's News, where on this podcast channel, I aim to eliminate the gender gap in the STEM fields by featuring inspiring female professionals and highlighting their stories and accomplishments to further encourage girls. Today on episode 80.
I think we have a lot of pressure, especially as women and girls, to be perfect. To always succeed, to always get the A+, to always make everyone else happy and comfortable around us, to always present in a really polished way. And we don't get in the habit of taking risks, and we don't get in the habit of failing. And a lot of us are afraid of failing, me included. But failure is so important. And if you want to build anything, and if you want to be an entrepreneur, then the more you can get practiced at gracefully failing and learning and trying again, the better off you'll be.
Today on episode 80, I'm pleased to announce our guest, Jess Wolfe. As a CEO and chairwoman of Rebel Girls, a multi-platform empowerment brand dedicated to helping raise the most inspired and confident generation of girls through content, experiences, products, and community, she's amounted to a community of 30 million self-identified Rebel Girls, spanning more than 100 countries, more than 10 million books sold in 50 languages, and 40 million audio listens. Under her leadership, Rebel Girls has expanded its publishing to now include 30 titles and 250 audio stories within the Rebel Girls app offering as well. She has done project work in 25 plus countries and 6 continents with a range of companies from startups to Fortune 500 and industries including media and technology, healthcare, finance, and industrial goods. So thank you so much, Jess, for being here today. Before we dive into the questions, would you like to introduce yourself?
Let's go.
Perfect. So my first question for you is, tell us a bit about your career path.
Well, I started out my career in finance, in advisory work. So my first job was doing mergers and acquisitions for an investment bank, working mostly with healthcare companies and helping them buy and sell pieces of their companies and whatnot. I then went to the buy side, so on the investment side, also in the healthcare industry. Later went to advise companies in a consulting capacity. And after about a decade of doing advisory work, I became an operator. And so I spent my next decade as an operator, which is where my heart and soul truly lie. And have done everything from restructuring businesses in Brazil to building Rebel Girls. And I love being an entrepreneur and I love building.
I love that. So thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to talk to you. And my next question for you is, what advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a career similar to yours? And do you have any tips to succeed?
I would say the best advice is to learn how to fail, because you're going to fail again and again and again and again. And failure is a really good thing. It's a really powerful thing. It's the best way we learn. And we remember our failures forever and always. We don't remember our successes forever and always. And if you're going to build a business, you're going to have to do things differently, and you're going to have to take a lot of risks, and you're going to have to try a bunch of things. And most likely, most of those things will not work out. And so the earlier you can get into the risk-taking mode and mindset and the learning mindset of taking a risk and then assessing if it works or not, and if it doesn't work, instead of being bummed, really think about, what can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? How can I do something differently the next time, or better, or what's a different approach? I think we have a lot of pressure, especially as women and girls, to be perfect, to always succeed, to always get the A+, to always make everyone else happy and comfortable around us, to always present in a really polished way. And we don't get in the habit of taking risks, and we don't get in the habit of failing. And a lot of us are afraid of failing, me included. But Failure is so important. And if you want to build anything and if you want to be an entrepreneur, then the more you can get practiced at gracefully failing and learning and trying again, the better off you'll be.
I love that because, as a student and, as a girl in the Silicon Valley, a lot of people around me, they're pretty perfect. Like what I see is, another person, another peer who probably has straight A's, an amazing family, and, just probably the perfect life. And the word perfect has also been pretty etched in my life that, oh, I should strive to be that. And if I see any risks or if I see anything that might be difficult, I shouldn't do that because that'll set me up for failure. But I think that instead we should embrace, going towards taking risks and maybe failing because failure isn't always something that should be connotative for, having an unsuccessful future. It should be something that should be the stepping stone for a better future. Once you fail, you start to learn more about yourself and you start to become a person who actually has experience with doing something over something else. And I think that failure should be something that we definitely should pursue instead of hiding away from.
100%. We should celebrate it, especially when the failure comes after taking a risk, after trying to do something differently or boldly. We should celebrate that failure and also codify the learnings for the next time. Nothing in life comes immediately and perfectly. Resilience is the name of the game. Learning how to deal with challenges, learning how to deal when things don't go exactly as we plan is part of our journey and what makes us better, more capable, more interesting humans.
I love that because once we start to learn how to fail, we can figure out, okay, so what did I learn from that? What can I apply? Because if you don't know how to do something, how will you become better? Like what I did, I'm a pretty stubborn person and I honestly don't like failing. So whenever I mess up on something, I get pretty harsh on myself, which is probably a problem. But what's something that's really good about failing is that you learn what you did wrong or what happened that was a little bit of a bummer, and you can like learn how to avoid that next time, or you could learn how to become, smarter in a sense than if you kind of tried avoiding that whole risk itself. So I think that if you start to open yourself up to failure, you actually start to become a little more smarter in a sense.
Totally agree.
Perfect. And my next question for you is, what is a common myth about your profession that you want to debunk?
Lots of people think being a CEO or being an entrepreneur is glamorous. Wow, this top job, it's so glamorous. It's so much fun. It's so easy. It's, all of those things I think is a myth that should be debunked. It's not glamorous. It's really hard. There's some incredibly rewarding elements to it, to both being a CEO and to being an entrepreneur. Some really, really, really high highs. There's also some really, really low lows. It's a lot of figuring out. It's a lot of failure. It's a lot of working with people, working with environment, working with business, everything changing every moment. So it's not an easy job. And it's not super glamorous, and it's incredibly rewarding and fun.
I love that because a lot of people think that if you have a really, really big title or a really cool job, because I'm from the Silicon Valley, so if you're a startup founder or if you've made something, then that seems really, really cool. But a lot of people don't know what happens behind the scenes. Like if I write something on LinkedIn, like, oh, I've been part of this organization for a couple of years and I climb the ranks, people will think, oh, that's pretty cool, but you won't actually know what happened behind the scenes, like how many hours I might have grueled to do that, and what I've gone through. So a lot of people might not really know what's happening behind the scenes. So it's probably the best thing to not always judge a book by its cover, because there's a lot of other things that's happening that you probably don't know of.
Word.
And my question for you is, if you could step into my shoes or younger self, what would you have asked yourself that I didn't?
A few things. I think I would have asked me what brings me joy. I would have asked me, what are my superpowers? And I would have asked me, what are the boxes I really want to tick in life?
I like that. I mean, as someone who like has a bunch of to-do lists and a bunch of planners around me, there's always like boxes that I need to tick or cross off. But if you really think about life as a, to-do list or a planner, there's certain boxes that you might want to fill up further than other ones or earlier than the other ones. So I think a good question that a lot of people should th ask themselves younger or, at any time is what do you want to actually do? And how will you get to that point? So, if I want to be an actress, what do I want to do? So, I want to be an actress. And then, what steps do I have to take in order to be that? I think that's pretty cool.
And even before you get to, I want to be an actress, what brings you joy? What truly brings you joy? What kind of problems do you like working on? What kind of activities do you like working on? What kind of things do you like to do? And what are your superpowers? Where do you shine more than others? What things come easily that you get that light you up that you can build momentum around? I think the other bit is, who do you want to be? So it's not always about what do you want to be or what do you want to do, but who do you want to be? What kind of person do you want to be? What kind of people do you want to interact with? What kind of life do you want to lead? What kind of things do you want to think about? Who do you want to surround yourself with? I think it's a very, there's a holistic element to it. Whereas I think we're very focused, very young on like, what do we want to be and what, what's our, how, what is our professional trajectory? And I think sometimes we get a little lost in that part. My recommendation is to find joy and to really search out things that are joyful and to also really lean into superpowers and things that you can excel at and keep going further at. And by doing those two things, a lot of doors open that you might not know even existed.
I love that. Like something I learned like online because I follow a bunch of cool creators on like Instagram. This one lady, she said that people should know the difference between atelic and telic goals. So atelic goals are basically what we try to see of, oh, I want to write a book by the end of the year, or I want to lose 60 pounds by the end of the year. And after that happens, then you're kind of burnt out because, oh, I finished that one big thing and I don't know what to do. So you might feel a little burnt out after you try to do something or try to achieve a what type of thing. But instead, you should try to focus your mind on telic goals because they're like more open-ended of, oh, I want to try to, become a better version of myself by losing a couple of pounds per month. And you don't have like an end like goal because if I said that I want to be an actress by these many years and I want to do this, after that happens, I might feel a little burned out. But instead, if I say, oh, I want to get into acting and I want to perform at least, once a month or once a year, then it's going to set you yourself up for success because you're doing something that you truly like without kind of thinking of an end goal. So I feel like that's a really cool mindset that I just wanted to share.
I think that's a wonderful mindset.
And my question for you is, what are the best resources slash books that have helped you find your career path?
There is a test that you can take called StrengthFinder that I think is really, really cool. And it's a framework that says there are 30 some different unique strengths. And the idea is to identify your top five or so. And what combination, unique combination of these 30 some different strengths are your top five. And I've taken this kind of test several times in my career, and it's also been interesting to see how that's evolved. But by taking this and identifying, your superpowers, right, and your top strengths, what kind of professions lend themselves more to utilizing those superpowers and the things that come naturally for you. The theory is if you can do things that are more of your superpower, it's going to come way easier and you're going to just accelerate and people are going to recognize you for that and you're going to be able to have a great momentum and get going. Versus if you're always trying to work on your weaknesses, then you're spending all of your time on the defensive. And that is not going to result in as much joy, and that's not going to result in as much validation, and that's not going to result in as much as you want to achieve. And so really honing in on the things that you are wonderful at and trying to create, find the right environment to unharness, unleash these superpowers. So I really love this, the Strength Finder survey and book and assessment. I've gotten a lot of great insights from that.
Definitely. And trying to find those early on could be really helpful too, because if you try to, people think that once you get into a profession or you're looking for an industry, it should be something reserved for graduate students or high school students. But if you're someone who's listening to this and you're in elementary school or middle school, then you should definitely try finding your super strengths and focus more on those because, as you said, you want to work on the offensive more instead of always playing on the defense.
I also think it's totally fine to evolve. So when I was in high school, I had no idea about any of the jobs I had. I didn't know they existed. I grew up in a small town in Oregon, and I learned about them as I went through life. And so I think it's great to have self-awareness, to have goals, to be curious, to explore. I don't think you need to have it all prescribed, all figured out on day one. It wasn't even until my senior year of college that I found out that there was a thing called business. And then I knew then I wanted to go to graduate school, and that was 5 more years before I could, went to graduate school and did that. But you learn about things as you go. So I think there are these wonderful frameworks, and there are books, and being curious and talking to as many people as possible. And there's just a great big world out there and so many options. And leaving the flexibility to not know what you don't know, and to keep learning and to keep growing and to exploring and to be able to change your mind as more information comes, whether that's environmental or self-awareness, or you meet people who open up opportunities or doors or ideas. So, frameworks are wonderful. Living a full life is also wonderful, which can lead to very unexpected paths.
I love that. I love what you've said over there because, things don't always have to be prescribed. I'm someone who likes to write down everything, and sometimes it might get a little bit tedious or it might get a little bit too stressful to write down, okay, what am I going to do for this month and that month? But better, I feel like the best ideas that you get are the ones that are more spontaneous because those are the ones that actually come to you when you're free and you're open and you're actually thinking. And it's really good to evolve as well because, you learn things as you go and, the best opportunities find you in places where, you're actually living them and you're not actually, writing down, oh, I want to do this prior to the event.
Yep.
All right. And my question for you is, what do you think is a vital factor that shaped your career? What was your life before learning it, and what was your life after learning it?
A vital factor that shaped my career. One of the bigger things that I've learned is the concept that what's got me here is not what's going to get me there. So, whatever's gotten you to this point is not necessarily the thing that's going to get you to the next point. Which means we constantly have to be learning, growing, evolving, reinventing ourselves, reinventing our businesses, reinventing how we do things. And so when I was younger, I just would work harder than anyone else. I would just stay up all night studying, working, building models, doing whatever it took because I had that work ethic and I would just work so hard until it was done. And that's what got me success to a certain point. That wasn't the thing that's going to get me success for the rest of my life. At some point, I had to learn not to work harder, but to work smarter or to work differently or to have better people skills. And you get other people to do different pieces of work and to like do all of those things. Same in businesses. What's made this business successful to a certain point is not what's going to make it successful to the next point. And so knowing that there are always chapters and nothing stays constant. And so this idea of reinvention is the key to success, that there is no constant, is a very scary and liberating concept. Because when we've gotten success by doing X, Y, or Z, that's our security blanket. That's what we know. That's what we lean into. That's where we go. And knowing that that's not actually what's going to get us to the next success can be daunting. But that unlock, and I do have to remind myself of that on a pretty constant basis, is the secret, I think, to continued success, continued experimentation, continued evolution.
I love that. I love what you said over there. You have to continuously reinvent yourself, or you have to continually, you know, work to get to that next success, probably by doing something different than what you did before. I absolutely love what you just said over there, because as someone who's, you know, I have a pretty good work ethic, but sometimes I think, oh, okay, that should just carry me for the next year. I should be able to do well. I'll be able to get all A's because of this work ethic, but it's actually not really that. I'm a little bit guilty of that mindset, because I think, okay, if I was able to get to A's last year, I should be able to get A's this year. But sometimes you have to change your approach, instead of just thinking, oh, my work ethic will be better. Maybe you might have to plan a different study method. Things are always going to change, especially with technology. I feel like a lot of people's work ethics are going to change, and a lot of people's mindset is going to change because of it. So you have to continuously work on yourself. And I think that's what's going to get you to your next success point, by building upon yourself and trying to be the better version.
Yep.
All right. And because we have some additional time, my question for you is, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career path?
I wish someone had told me to make fun and joy be a bigger priority. I did a lot of grinding for a long time, and it wasn't without fun and it wasn't without joy. But I've learned, the older I get and the farther along in my career I get, just how important joy and fun is. And, you know, you spend at least 40 hours a week working, sometimes 80, sometimes 100, sometimes, you know, and being able to make it be fun, being able to find joy, being able to bring that levity in, allows for more creativity, allows for a clearer mind, allows for a lot of things. And I think I was pretty serious early on, because I was young and hungry and wanted to prove myself and had this big steep learning curve. And I think there's more time allocated to the fun and the joy elements, and turning work into that and finding those areas, the better for your mental health, the better for your physical health, the better for, you know, your community around you. So that would be it.
I think it's honestly a talent if you can find joy wherever you can, because sometimes people often think it's fake joy, in a sense, like, oh, at least I'll be happy doing this later on. Or if you're doing something and you think it might not give you joy currently, but in the future it will, it probably won't. Try to make your whatever you're doing happy for yourself, because that'll at least help your mental health a little bit. I can speak from that with as a student. And I feel like if you just know that if you prioritize your happiness, you'll be able to work harder later on, instead of just thinking about, oh, I should work instead of, you know, being happy.
It's a fine balance. And sometimes we skew in one direction versus another direction. And life is short and precious.
That is true. Life is short. And my last question for you is, how do you continue to learn in order to stay on top of things within your role?
I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of listening. Read a lot of newspaper articles and journal articles, books that come out. I do a lot of talking with my peers. So I'm in different groups with different entrepreneurs, and we talk about what we see and in the market and trends and what's working and not working. Sometimes they go to conferences, which are really lovely too, to be able to discuss ideas and stay on top of things. But it's usually a combo of, reading what other people are thinking about and bouncing ideas off of a whole community of people who support each other's endeavors and want to do better and want to help each other figure it out.
I love that, actively engaging, and in various ways. You attend conferences or you read books that have come out, and bouncing off of other people's ideas within the community. I love that.
And last thing, when in doubt, research. Spend time with the audience, spend time with the consumer, spend time with the people you're trying to serve, and they'll teach you a lot all the time.
That is true. And also spend time with Google. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much, Jess, for being on this call with me. I absolutely love talking to you. And before we end off, do you have any last words to the audience?
I'm so excited for your generation. I think you all are absolutely so smart and aware and have this knowledge and this passion that we've never seen before. So I cannot wait to see what mark you leave on the world and how you do it and how you evolve all these things that we've done into a way better and more creative and interesting way. And I'm wishing you, Arna, and all the listeners to stay rebel.
Thank you. And here are my 3 cents on this episode with Jess. Learning to fail, embracing failure as a learning opportunity, and understanding that failure is a natural part of the journey to success. Developing resilience and perseverance in the face of setbacks. Finding joy and happiness while focusing on gratitude and mindfulness to appreciate the present moment. Cultivating positive habits and mindset, and building meaningful connections and relationships for a more fulfilling life. And lastly, understanding the need for reinvention, recognizing that growth often requires stepping out of comfort zones and being open to change and adapting to new circumstances, while continuously learning and evolving to stay relevant in personal and professional pursuits. Thus, that concludes the episode for this week. If you want to know more about how I relate to these amazing topics, then stay tuned for upcoming episodes. A free way to support this show is by leaving it a 5-star rating and a review on the player you are listening to. Let me know what you enjoy about this podcast, as it's a chance to tell me what you love about the show, and it helps others discover it too. Once again, thank you for finding me, and I hope we stay in touch with each other. Dito, you're listening to Arna Sahu, the host of Arna's News. Toodles!